Tonight, I wanted to continue a thought I kind of started on Wednesday night about doing the will of God with God's people in His Word and to accomplish His will. And I used that verse in Galatians 5 as my starting point. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And in Galatians 5, if you have the little descriptions at the top of your Bible there, it talks about it's continuing on the thought of Galatians 4, where Paul was talking about being freed. Mine says, being freed by Christ from the bondage of the law. In this passage, he wasn't talking yet. He gets to it later on, but he wasn't necessarily talking about a sin that had tripped them up. You know, the Bible says to run well. He was talking about a false teacher had come in and said they needed to obey the Old Testament law, one of the Old Testament laws of the Jews, in order to have salvation through Christ. And Paul said, I didn't teach you that, but somebody else has taught you that, and it's tripped you up. You're not running well like you used to. You're hindered, as the verse says. Who did hinder you? First, Paul was saying they needed to conform, not to the old law, but to be transformed by the gospel, that Jesus had provided a way of salvation for all people. Remember, he told Peter that salvation wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. It was for everyone. And the Apostle Paul was kind of answering back at someone that had been a critic of him. And he was talking about the liberty that we have in Christ. And he was very careful. He uses a lot of description and very careful to say it's not a liberty to sin. It's not a liberty to go against the Word of God. But it's a liberty to use to serve other people with the goal in mind to be a servant to other people. To use God's Word and to use the people that God has put around us to do God's will, to serve others with the liberty that only comes through Jesus Christ. He assured them that if in this chapter they're talking about circumcision. He said if you're going to depend on that instead of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ, then you're taking away the power of you. In verse 4 it says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Paul said you can't obey the Old Testament law and trust Christ as your only way to heaven, because you're either taking the power away from one and giving it to the other, or you can't have it both ways. If you're going to trust in Christ, you can't say, I'm going to heaven because I've kept all the laws and I've done all these things. It became a hindrance to the people. And he made sure to tell them in Galatians chapter 5 that they didn't hear it from him. They didn't hear this false teaching from the Apostle Paul. And he says, twice in the chapter, he says, I didn't teach you this. You didn't hear it from me. And if I had been the one to teach it, then why am I being persecuted? Why are the Jewish people persecuting me for not enforcing the Old Testament laws if that's what I'm saying? He says, it doesn't even make any sense that you believe I would say you have to keep the law of circumcision, the Old Testament law, in order to have salvation. He said, if that were true, then I wouldn't be under the attack and the persecution that I'm under. He said, you didn't hear it from me. I didn't say it. And he says, somebody said it. And that's when he asked the question, who did hinder you? And this is the chapter where you read the phrase, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, just a little bit mixed in contaminates. In this case, leaven gets through the whole loaf of bread. It makes the whole loaf of bread rise. It doesn't just affect one little part where it touches. It spreads and it grows. And in this case, it was a bad thing because it was hindering the Christians that he was writing to. And again, in our day, we still need to be careful and to listen intently when people teach. And I feel the weight of that right now to say, well, I'm going to go back to the Bible and make sure that's what is right and listen. And if it's not, to, as Barney Fife would say, to nip it in the bud. You know, to get it while it's young, not to let it grow, not to let it fester like leaven grows in bread, not to let it expand, but to nip it and get it out of there and confront when things are said and done that are not biblical. Paul says he still has confidence in them. In the verse that we read, he says, I saw something in you that worked. You did run well. There was a time when you had passion and zeal about what you did, and you were excited about the good news of the gospel and the freedom, the liberty that comes with giving your life to Christ, with accepting salvation because of what Jesus did in the finished work of dying and shedding his blood and raising again and completing that work. And then you had the zeal and the running well. Everything was going good, and then something hindered you. He wanted them to confront it. He wanted them to face it. And he reestablishes, he reassures them of their liberty in Christ. Later on in Galatians 5, he talks about what happens if you take that liberty and try to write yourself a blank check or say, well, that means I can do anything I want. And he says, no, if anything that you do that's not to serve others, to serve other people in the will of God, to get the gospel to them, that's a work of the flesh. And he talks about some of those and says you'll be just as tripped up under those as you would be trying to follow the old law. And then this is where we get the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So real quick, I want to go through, I'm just going to read one verse in Galatians 5, 1, and then I'll skip back down to verse 7. So don't worry, I won't go through the whole chapter. But it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And I just wanted to bring out that one verse kind of as the topic sentence there, because everything he talks about, the rest of the chapter, talks about that entangling. And it paints a picture not of somebody getting caught in a net or like walking into a spider web, but it talks about taking something and wrapping it back around yourself, a choice that you make to pick it back up and put it back on and say, I'm going to make myself subject to it again. And he said, be careful that you don't entangle yourself again in the yoke of bondage. That yoke also, I think it was Peter that talked about it, but the yoke that their fathers would, in Acts chapter 15, the yoke of bondage, Peter rose up, it says, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." And what the bondage, my first point tonight is what hinders us? The bondage of the old law being necessary for salvation. They were hindering their growth because they said, well, I believe the gospel is this, but somebody has told me it's also this. And they couldn't reconcile those two things together because they're impossible to reconcile law and grace without Jesus Christ there in the middle to say that he came to fulfill the law and to give us liberty. All right, so back to verse 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" The Christian life, again, over and over in the Bible, you can probably quote them as well as I can, or probably better, but the Christian life is pictured as a race. And we've heard many sermons around here, I've brought them before, that we run in a race, and all one receiveth the prize, or laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Talking about running a race and running a long distance, an Olympic term. And that word hinder means to trip up, to slow down, to actually to drive you back. So it's a person that while the runner is running, another person, you know, sees them coming and he sees where they would intersect, and that other person runs to drive them back, to drive them out of their path, to drive them away from winning the race. And it signifies coming across the course of that person. So in this case, Paul was saying, I told you the truth. I told you the liberty that you can experience with Christ. And you were on the course. You were running well. You were going where you were supposed to go. And someone hindered you. And again, Paul says it. I'll say it again now. The truth has not changed. The truth of the gospel has not changed for us today in 2015. It's still the same gospel. It's still the same Savior. So we know the truth is not bad. And we know our ability to run in that truth is not hindered, because if you're breathing air, God has given you something that he wants you to do. And God doesn't want us to be useless. He wants us to be useful. God doesn't want us to sit and, you know, like Brother Paul might have a tractor that if you don't use it, you don't oil it, it just sits there and it rusts out. He doesn't want us to rust out. If anything, he wants us to give it our all and try to wear ourselves out to do what God wants us to do. But God gives us grace and rest. But he doesn't want us to be useless. He doesn't want us to sit still. He wants us to run well. He wants us to be unhindered. In this case, it was the law. And I got 3 points and we'll be done. But in this case, there was a hindrance of the old habits that they had. We still have the potential to run well. And there might be hindrances in our life tonight. And Paul said, who hindered you? And it's kind of in between the lines there. But why did you let them? Who hindered you? And why did you let them hinder you when you had the truth? First one I put down was speaking of what this passage speaks of. The habits that they had that had no meaning or application. And there's two ways to look at this. In their case, it was the Jewish law. Peter called it a yoke. They said they could not bear it. Paul said it wasn't the salvation that God had told him to preach. And what had happened is some teachers had come in and said, you need to keep this habit. You need to do this thing in order to have salvation. And what the passage seems to say is they had the habit, but they didn't have the meaning behind it. They were trying to do something and apply something that they didn't have the meaning behind it. And for us today, if you have a habit, like we talked about in Sunday school, if you have a habit that you do on a regular basis that you can't trace back to God's word or God's people or God's will, then that's an empty habit. It's a hindrance in your life if there's nothing that you can use and apply in your life. And you might say, well, you know, I work in a button factory and I push buttons all day. Well, that might seem like a useless habit. I know there's people that have to do that. I push a lot of buttons. But if pushing the buttons gives you the resources to take care of your family, gives you the resources to choose to use the rest of your time and your resources, your money, if that gives you something to accomplish something good for God, then that is a means to an end. A job is a means to an end to be useful in God's will, to say I'm going to do the best I can to be a good steward and use what God is, the abilities that God has given to me, and to see all of your life that way, to say it's not just a useless thing that I'm doing, whatever it might be, but it's working toward a goal. It is living with intention or doing it on purpose, and that habit has to have a biblical reason behind it. The Bible tells us, you know, work, and Carol always teases me when we sing, work for the night is coming when man's work is o'er. Carol says, woman's work is never o'er. But we realize that God gives us strength and we have a time to do that work, and there's a profit in that work, a profit here on earth and a profit for treasure in heaven. A habit with no meaning could be defined as busyness. We only say we're busy most of the time. We say we're busy when we just have our time is consumed with something that we haven't defined a purpose. I got to get it done. I got to get this done. Now I got to get this done. And we get so busy that we don't say, well, the reason I'm so busy is because I'm trying to accomplish a purpose. This week I was worried, you know, we mentioned that funeral service that kind of came up at the last minute. And there was a few things that I thought, this is going to be a relaxing week. I can get all my, the people that get CDs, we're a couple weeks behind on CDs. I can sit down and do all of my regular jobs because the boss is out of town. And I made the mistake of going and checking my mail. I got a summons for jury duty. So I had to go. It's like, but I didn't go to that yet. But I'm like, that's just one more thing that I have to add to everything that needs to be done. But if we're not careful, we'll put the things that need to be done in one category and put God's will in another. And really, there's not that separation in the Bible. It's we are living in the will of God when we're following the path that God has given us to do. Habit with no meaning could be defined as busyness or consumed without a defined purpose. And in that busyness, we need to be careful to set aside times for God to speak to us. At our church, we have an invitation time. And there's no plan ever to get rid of the invitation time, because that's one little chunk of time we set aside to say, God, if you want me to make something right, I'm going to take the next 2 minutes and this is my time to make it right. If there's something you want to say to me, if you know, we have a time for the Word of God to be open. We have a set aside time, and that habit of time has a purpose. To say, we don't just do it because we always do it. Well, we don't just do it because other churches don't do it. We're setting the time aside because there's a purpose to that habit. Brother Bill, when I first met him, he brought me a book by A.W. Tozer, And one of his quotes said, "It's dangerous to be so busy that you have no time to wait on God." And a lot of times we say, "Well, I'm busy. I'm doing God's work." The next one he said, "It's in an effort to get the work of the Lord done, we often lose contact with the Lord of the work." If you ever find yourself saying, "I'm doing a bunch of good stuff, but I haven't stopped long enough to see the reason for the habit, to say I'm doing this so that I can accomplish God's will. I'm pushing buttons so that I can make a little money, so I can help somebody, so I can do it in the name of Christ, so I can give somebody a meal to eat, so I can do something to help somebody else." And to see in everything that we do, to see the final result, to see the final goal. Number two, things that hinder us. Paul talks about it. I'll mention it tonight. Sin. All sin separates us. All sin distracts us from following after that which is good. And I read a quote this week: "You will not fix what you're not willing to face." And I don't know, most people's sins in this room, sometimes people try to confess to me and I don't want to know, don't tell me. But Paul talks about a lot of it, and all sin leads to this list that he has in Galatians 5: envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, idolatry, witchcraft. All sin does not provide a fulfillment, so you seek after more sin. You don't stop with sin. You keep trying to meet that appetite, and you go farther and farther into sin. All sin separates us, whether it's a white lie or one of these gross ones on the list that messes up a church, messes up a relationship, but it hinders us. And the question again, who hindered you and why did you let them? We hear it a lot. The devil doesn't make a Christian do that. We can't use that excuse, "The devil made me do it." No, you let the devil do it. You said, "I'm ready to be hindered, and here's my hindrance right now," and you let that into your life. The devil doesn't make you do it, and somebody hindered us with sin. And instead of showing the fruit of the Spirit, we showed the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh. And Paul covers that in Galatians 5. And then number three, what hinders us? And this is the last one, a shallow relationship with God. I read a lot of advice about, you know, child rearing, believe it or not. And they always talk about quantity or quality. You know, you can have a lot of time with your kid, or you can have a little bit of time where you have quality time. And I believe that kid needs both, and I believe that God deserves both. God deserves a lot of our time, what we can give him, and really if we're searching after our purpose, all the time is God's, as long as we see it that way and see it that all of our habits are to serve him. But God wants a lot of our time, and he wants us focused on him in the time that we are able to give to him and the time that we do set aside for him. This is true for husbands and wives and families and friends. Balance that public time and that private time. Okay, so my wife's sitting back there. If the only time I kissed her was on her anniversary in front of the whole church, and the rest of the time I said, "You know what, stay over there." If it was all public affection, that wouldn't be good. And at the same time, if it was all private affection and nothing public, that wouldn't be good either. And the same thing is true with our walk with God. As a younger person, I still like to call myself younger, I still need to look to the older people that pray in public, that express love and affection for God in public. But those same people need to do that in private and say, "You know what, God's such a good God, he deserves both. He deserves our affection in public and in private." And that if we don't balance that, we have a shallow relationship when it comes to God. Talked about it in Sunday school, but time in prayer. Prayer is a mighty instrument, not necessarily for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done in earth. And we talked about it today. Most of the time when we pray, we either ask for the wrong thing and we have to wait till God tells us what we really need, or we don't know what to ask for. And prayer is that opportunity that we give God to get our thoughts and our hearts right with him so that we can know what to ask for. And sometimes prayer is making your requests. Sometimes prayer is worshiping God. Sometimes prayer is being quiet. Be still and know I am God, and listening for God's leading. He does that through his word. He does that through other people. But a shallow relationship with God, you can fake a lot of things. But when you're one-on-one with God, God knows who you are, and you know the glory of God, and you can't fake it to him. Time in his word. Setting aside a time and saying, "This habit has meaning. I'm not just doing it to say that I did it, but this is a time I've set aside to learn more about the kingdom of God, to learn more about eternity, to learn more about serving him and doing his will. Time of meditation, not just reading it, but stopping every now and then and saying, "All right, you know, like Pastor was talking about, meditating, thinking about it again, like a cow, bringing it back up, thinking about it again, meditating. And don't let that relationship get shallow. Don't let that idea just sit there and not let it have meaning behind it. Don't let a habit become just a habit that doesn't have a meaning behind it. Time of telling others what God has said to you. I know I have the Word of God. I know I have God's people around me. I want to do His will. Part of that will is to tell other people. Part of that is testimony time in church, but part of that is outside of church. I remember this differently than Dad. I always tell the story about when we would go to Sam's Club. I usually think like Saturday mornings they have free samples. So when he was home on a Saturday and he would want to take me shopping and we'd go get free samples. And we would always, you know, we'd go to the frozen aisle and they'd have little things out there cooked and you take one and try it. And sometimes I think we treat church that way. We say, all right, once a week or twice a week, I'm going to go, I'm going to sample everything. And we try it and it's not enough for a meal. You just sample it and then you go home and then come back next week and get another free sample. And we can't treat church that way, because what you're supposed to do at church is say, hey, that was pretty good. I think I'll take a whole bag of that. That was a pretty good little lesson that lasted 10 minutes, and I think I need to study more on that. I think I need to take the sample, but then I need to go get the whole product. I need to buy into it and say, I need this in my life. I need it so much that once a week isn't going to be enough. 1 hour a week isn't going to be enough. I need to take it, and not in the presence of the store, but I need to take it home and prepare it for myself. I need to figure this out. I need to sit down and whatever it is, I need to prepare it and get it to my family and pass it on. And we can't treat church like a sample, and we can't treat God's word like take a tiny sip and save some more for next week. No, it's something that's a place where we live. We can't have that shallow relationship where it will hinder us, and why would we let that happen? We can't have that sin that besets us, that will hinder us, and why would we let it? It's our choice. And we can't have the habit without the meaning behind it. I'm sure there's people that have habits. They don't need to stop the habit. They just need to go back to the Word of God and say, you know what, I've gotten lax in the why of it. I've gotten lax in why I do all these good things. It's not just a time filler. It's not just to keep me out of trouble. There's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose behind reading the Word of God. There's a purpose behind praying out loud in public or sharing a testimony or singing a song. It's not just a habit. There's a deeper meaning behind it. And again, we need to be careful as Christians. Like I talked about this morning, hopefully nothing stops you from sharing Jesus. But there can be things that hinder us from running as well as we once did. We all have that potential. We did run well. Run well again. We did run unhindered. Run unhindered again. Sit down with God. It's probably a little thing. It's probably something tiny that you could diagnose and say, you know, I could do the exact same things, but just do it on purpose because I get to and not because I have to. I could fix one little problem and still honor God with my life. It's correctable. That's the word I wanted to give. It's correctable. I can bring it back and be unhindered again. You don't throw the whole thing away. You fix the problem. You correct it and go on. And that's what this church needs. That's what this town needs, is a church that runs well, that runs the way that God designed it, and that says, you know, we can handle it. We don't have to be hindered by this. We don't have to stop. We don't have to get distracted. We can have the right habits for the right reason, avoid sin, and have a deep relationship with God on purpose because we love Him, because we want to serve Him, as the offertory played tonight. We serve Him because we love Him. And that was my challenge for you tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer, have an invitation. Again, I hope the Holy Spirit has been doing the work of interceding. If something that was said tonight, even in one of the testimonies in the song, that you need to make right and say, you know what, there's an adjustment I need to make tonight so that I can run well again. I hope you'll do that in the time that we have set aside. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the song that Angie sang. Help us to remember to put in perspective what we really need. We don't need all the things we say we need. We need Jesus. We need the touch of His healing in our life. Thank you for the song that Brother Wayne and the ladies played, that we want to serve you because we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us not to get hung up on rituals and habits that we've lost the meaning of, but help us to put the meaning back into those habits and say, this is why I spend my time the way I do. This is why I behave the way I do, because this is what God desires for me, for His will, with His people. in His Word. I pray you bless the time of invitation. If there's something related or unrelated that somebody needs to correct tonight, I pray, Lord, they'd use this 5 minutes and right now and say that was the time where I put myself back in line and I want to run well again. I pray you bless our church. Thank you that you love us so much. Give us so much grace and mercy. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.